We also had a few complications, and one of these complications was that just as the retreat was about to begin, Ranshaw, the main organizer, wound up in the hospital. So that was a complication, and then the next complication was that the cook became ill, so that was double. And then Ram Vijay took over, sort of, a little bit, and today he went to the hospital with kidney stones. So everyone's afraid now to take up the organization of the retreat. But anyway, so things are in that way. We notice maybe that here and there some lacking has been there. It has been brought to my notice that some inconvenience has been there with prasadam. And what can I say? We greatly regret that, and I'm just trying to explain a little bit what happened. Is that an emergency crew just jumped into the kitchen, into the management, and tries to pick up from where others left off. And as they are getting in gear, well, they have their way of doing things and their needs, and they didn't have the time to adequately prepare for their particular way of doing things. So, what to do? I think it's getting under control now, and but still, this evening a change of schedule was made. Instead of serving out dinner now at 6, the potatoes were late, and on an Ekadasi, when the potatoes are late, that's a complication. So what to do? But the potatoes are here and are being prepared right now. I don't know exactly what you're going to have, but potatoes will be part of it. And so what we'll do is I will just continue now a little bit then with the talk, and then we break at 7:30, and then they'll serve out the dinner, and well, whatever happens after that, that's up to you. I'm a little tired now too. If you want to do some more kirtan later on, you can, but that's up to you. No. So then we keep it like that. We just do it in that way. So if anyone is experiencing any inconvenience, please don't hesitate to tell me. And because also if no one tells me and I hear it only much later, I'm actually capable of management, and I'm not afraid of going into the hospital, because I don't usually go to hospitals. That's not one of the things I do. So don't worry about that. No, but I can help to sort it out. So please, if there's anything lacking, you can just let me know directly, and I'll do whatever I can. And we greatly regret whatever inconvenience have been there, but hope it doesn't repeat itself. And if there's anything, let us know. Of course, when you complain about the heat, then somehow or other, the few days that we are here, it's quite hot. And then on Thursday it starts raining, and the weather forecast said it will rain for an entire week after that. It will just keep on raining. So we might get a little bit of that rain on Thursday just as we are leaving. But otherwise, the next few days are supposed to be hot. Let us begin and discuss a little, and then see who still comes, because if some people didn't read the WhatsApp, then they might come a little late here. There is someone there to inform them that the schedule has changed. Okay, so let's just focus. Om Agyanati Manandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshura Meditam Yana Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then maybe Chandrasekhar, maybe you can organize a Q&A sheet that can go around. So, let's pick up the thread. This morning, or let us say, over the last few days, I spoke a bit about the difference between Kanista and Madhyam Adhikari, explaining that the Kanista devotee is one who has weak faith and who is if we research a little bit the roots of faith, then we can understand that scriptures say, the Vedanta Sutra establishes the aphorism Anandamai Vyasat, that the living being is by nature pleasure-seeking. So, because we are by nature pleasure-seeking, wherever we think that pleasure will be found, that's where our faith will go. If you think it's money, then your faith will be in money. If you think it's power, your faith will be in power. If you think it's Krishna, then it will be, if you think our happiness will come from Krishna, yes, then we'll be a devotee. So like this, wherever we think that our happiness is to be found, that is where our faith will go, naturally. Because that's our nature, to look for happiness. And so the Kanista has attachment to material things and feels that, like, well, it's not perfect, but it's also not bad. There are many good things in life, and therefore natural attachment to all these good things is there, and as a result we come into Krishna consciousness with all these attachment to the good things in this world, whatever we experience as good, and our faith is divided. Some of faith is that happiness is in these things, and therefore we're not ready to put all our faith in Krishna consciousness. The Madhyam Adhikari is putting all faith in Krishna consciousness. There's low faith in material happiness, saying it's even if it's there, it's temporary, it's not fulfilling, it doesn't last. And therefore the Madhyam Adhikari puts all faith in Krishna consciousness and in the process of devotional service, which gradually brings us up. Then the Uttama Adhikari lives very closely in the relationship with Krishna. That's basically the principle of an Uttama Adhikari. Sometimes different acharyas have made statements that Uttama Adhikari begins at stages of bhava. Others have said Uttama Adhikari begins earlier, when there is ruchi and ashakti. And the reason is because Uttama Adhikari basically means focused on Krishna and that relationship with Krishna, and with it also Krishna's reality, Krishna's world. Because we cannot separate Krishna from his world, what does our world have to offer to Krishna? Nothing. Nothing. Krishna has no benefit from the material energy. He is not interested in anything from the material world. Krishna cannot enjoy the material world. Krishna can only enjoy the spiritual world. So naturally, when we say Krishna, then Krishna's world is also included with Krishna. It is there. And sooner or later, it will also come there. So we come to Vrindavan. Now, we come to Vrindavan, or like Jiva Goswami identified it, Mathura is a state of consciousness. So we're speaking now about an inner Vrindavan, an inner state of Krishna's presence. The external manifestation of Vrindavan in this material world is also Vrindavan, but that is covered. And again, we cannot see, we cannot penetrate, we cannot get through that covering unless our consciousness is sufficiently evolved in the sense of realizing that internal Vrindavan. Then we can also fully perceive the external manifestation of Vrindavan in this world. So like this, we're summarizing a few points that we've been discussing. Then we discussed the influence of Lord Chaitanya, and then where our own bhakti is, our own love for Krishna, is finding its limit. And this morning we went to Vrindavan following Uddhava. Uddhava went to Vrindavan, and Uddhava went as a messenger of Krishna. But Uddhava did not just go as a messenger of Krishna. Uddhava, Jiva Goswami said, went because of desire. He had a strong desire to go. He had a desire to meet these devotees in Vrindavan. And when he came, he was astounded by the depth of their love for Krishna. And he himself could not approach that. He could not approach such intensity of love for Krishna. He was overwhelmed. And it had a transforming effect on him. He took that with him, as we saw later in Bhagavatam, when he was remembering the Vrindavan pastimes. Tears would come from his eyes, his voice would choke up, he could not speak. And while Vidura was asking him questions. So in this way we understand a little bit about Uddhava. So I used Uddhava as an outsider, a devotee, but at the same time an outsider who goes to Vrindavan. And I made the point, we are behind Uddhava. We're also outsiders when we go to Vrindavan. When we go to Vrindavan to an extent, we remain outsiders. We cannot deeply penetrate as it is. And then, when we meet the limits of our love, what do you do? When you're dealing with the love that the gopis have for Krishna and Krishna has for them, how can we fully understand if we're not capable of such love ourselves? If, just like Radharani said, that sleep, she said sleep also plays its covering potency with me, and when I sleep I also forget Krishna. Therefore, I've decided not to sleep anymore. Okay, nice. I don't know if anyone else is there, but personally, I must say, for me that doesn't work. I'm already tired today, maybe still from climbing hills in the morning. And sort of a little sleepy, and I know I'm looking forward to the night that is coming, and I will sleep. So what to do? So we see that the love of Radharani is on a level, right, where it's another level than our love, whatever we have. And that's where I said that if we cannot approach that love, if it is beyond our capacity and we reach our limit in a sense, yes, we can continue to hear, but we remain outsiders. Then when we turn to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to his mission, to the mission of the holy name, the mission of the chanting of the holy name and sharing that holy name with the entire universe, then we are there. And we explained how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but now in a golden form and soft-hearted, and that because he's taken the mood of Srimati Radharani, who is by nature soft-hearted, being the feminine counterpart of Krishna. And therefore, we turn to Lord Chaitanya. And as Narottam says, as we dive into the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we emerge in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Okay, so with that, I have sort of summarized a little bit of our previous discussion. Now, where to take it from here? I've basically, in three sessions, taken us to the ultimate level, showing various levels of Krishna consciousness and how we can go deeper and develop our Krishna consciousness. Now I'd like to, now I'd like to digest all that a little bit. You know, because I knew this morning I just started something and then I felt I had to finish it, and I just gave you an avalanche of information, and maybe it was nice, but at the same time, I knew it was a bit much to digest, and therefore I feel we should take time to discuss this. So that's why I wanted to invite you for writing some questions. You can begin writing questions or asking questions also directly, and in that way we can start up something like Rukmini came at the end and said she had a question, and so maybe we should begin with your question.
I wrote it down, but I didn't ask it also.
Okay, whatever.
I was thinking that it's not difficult for me to see the mercy of Lord Chaitanya all around us. We can see it on the street, we can see it in people's lives, and it's amazing, it's enlightening. But then I look at me, and it's hard for me to see the mercy of Lord Chaitanya within me. And then you say, like, time would make us a devotee. But then when I hear that, my mind goes like, sure. And I may sometimes feel that time comes to make me less of a devotee. So how do we see that?
In our own life, well, we may see to an extent how we are not a devotee, and everyone else will see how we are a devotee, because we dress up like a devotee, because we eat what devotees eat, we are with devotees, right? So, I think that this morning we spoke about the two paths, right? The Bahi Panta and the Antapanta. Or the internal path, the Antapanta, and the Bahi Panta, the external path. So the external, and then we explained how in Jiva Dharma this is found, and how Sarupa Damodara Goswami explained to Gopal Guru Goswami and his disciple Janachandra Goswami the external path. So the external path was all about cultivation, cultivating one's Krishna consciousness. And in the external path, there was a lot of arrangement to create remembrance. You know, it's like hearing about Krishna, descriptions about Krishna, exercises as to meditating, beginning with Krishna's lotus feet, and meditating on the marks on Krishna's feet, meditating on the feet itself, meditating on the reddish color at Krishna's feet, and all these things, and then slowly coming up to Krishna's calf, Krishna's lotus face. So quite meditative, actually, quite. So the approach of Gopal Guru Goswami and Janachandra Goswami is an approach which where we are cultivating a Vrindavan consciousness by making an external effort, and also by going to Vrindavan and spending some time there. And when we are there, getting absorbed, not just being there, but when we are there, hearing, chanting, going to the places where Krishna performed his pastimes, then deeply meditating on these pastimes, all part of that external cultivation, all part of the Bahi Panta. And the Bahi Panta, or the external path, will bring about an internal transformation to an extent. And then we still encounter that little bit of independence, which I have many times described in the past. It's in Hridaya Kandare Vasachinandana, that in the innermost chambers of the heart, Sachinandan must be there, or Lord Chaitanya must be there. And it's not the case. So basically, what you're bringing out is that although you're doing the external program, of cultivation, of hearing, chanting, of going to the dham, staying there, and so on, although you're doing the internal, internally there is still another personality who is not completely a devotee. So then we turn to Lord Chaitanya in that state. This is where we reach the limit of our love, you see. We're cultivating our consciousness of Vrindavan, we relish. Like we listen to kirtan, we relish, and then maybe we find a limit in our concentration. Then what we do, we turn to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya's main... Turning to Lord Chaitanya means we think about the Sankirtan movement. And the Sankirtan movement is a movement of glorifying Krishna and congregationally, and to bring this to others somehow or other. It's very much about bringing this glorification of Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes to others. So when we become part of that, we are here very much in the world where we live. It's very immediate. It's not that other world, which to an extent we can see and to an extent we cannot see. Like the other day, earlier in the lectures, I raised this point that it is mentioned that once Prabhupada told a story about Mother Yasoda in the spiritual world, and when she wants to know if the rice is cooked or not, she doesn't need to take a grain of rice from the pot and to see if it's fully cooked. She just simply asks the rice, "Rice, are you cooked?" And the rice says, "Not quite." Yeah. I mean, that's sort of mind-blowing. It's just mind-blowing, right? I mean, how does that work? I mean, if you think about it, if prasadam is conscious like that, how can you eat it? And so many complexities arise from that. You could ask 100 questions on that story. Yeah? Easy, you know? And my answer to all these questions would be like, I don't know, most likely. I don't know, because although whatever I perceive now from the spiritual world is basically through the Shastra. So here I'm falling short. I don't know. So that other world or that the spiritual world, the world of Krishna, is mysterious. It's a mysterious world. It said the pastimes of Krishna are covered by darkness. When Krishna is roaming around with his calves and his cows, the hooves of all the calves and cows are throwing up dust, and this dust creates some darkness. There it said the pastimes of Krishna are always covered by some darkness, and therefore one cannot fully understand. So when we can no longer penetrate, when we can no longer emotionally come along, turn back to Lord Chaitanya. And it's here and now. It's about the transcendental wealth. Golokir Premanana. The wealth of Golok has descended into this world. And we have it in the form of the holy name. It's here. And now just bring that into the mundane realm, and it works like it transforms everything, including us. So this is the key to deal with that inner conflict that we face. I have sometimes in lectures, I was in Germany, and I saw in this bookstore this book called The Inner Schweinhund, or the word Schweinhund can be translated as hog dog, right, if we want to know it literally. Anyway, The Inner Schweinhund is sort of, it's interesting that there is such a creature that is not only, that internally there is, sometimes it's said, the animal that is living inside and that wants to break loose, right? Nicely hidden behind a devotee facade, but yet that lower nature, as Bhagavad Gita is describing it. So that part which we have put on ice, that part which we placed on the shelf, because as soon as we get involved in this movement, we begin to live with vows. Living with vows, the first thing that happens is when you live with vows, is that you live above what would happen naturally. See, the vows, you take a step up from what would naturally happen. And you fix your life around these vows, and that pulls up what is natural, and gradually that standard becomes natural. That's the idea. So, but it also means that maybe some things are put on ice, so to speak. Or as they say in psychology, that in a latent way, the certain tendencies are still present. Not manifest, but latent, still present. Right? And so on. So yes, that may be there. But that should not be a cause of concern. We just get absorbed, we just engage ourselves in this Sankirtan movement. And of course Srila Prabhupada pointed out, this is the Hare Krishna movement. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the center of it. Everything supports that. The temples, right? Also, there's deity worship, but there's no deity worship without kirtan. Right? That's not in the Sankirtan movement. These two are intimately connected. It's like we are not worshipping the deity without. See, that's like also one of the problems when you come out of Vrindavan, from the kirtan party, is that you can't bring the deities of Vrindavan with you. Right? And same, normally you sing for them. Yeah. It's like, of course, you sing also for the deities here, but because when we serve particular deities for a longer period of time, we develop a relationship with them. And these deities actually become special to us. And one cannot just necessarily develop the same attachment with with other deities like that. You know? So the deities that we have served, they're special to us. There's no doubt.
They'll always be special for us.
Anyway, you see where I'm going. So it's not like a crisis at all. It's not like, oh, but how can this happen? That this element is there, which is now not in line with my whole way of life. I mean, I'm like having a hidden identity, right? And is it like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, or Mrs. or Miss Hyde? Right? No. Is that the situation? No. It's normal, because we put some things on ice. Of course, I have many times given my own example, and which is, if take all material desires, put them in a box, and put the box on the shelf, then one day when you look at these material desires, and you look in the box, you find it's half empty. How is that? Krishna took. You know his nature. He steals. And, you know, this is based, this, on the verse, sarva dharmam paricheyamamekam saranam vraja aham tam sarva papevyo moksha isyami masucha. I take away all your sinful inclinations and tendencies. Don't worry. I take them away. He does. So whatever is on ice there, keep it on ice. Whatever is there. Just that whatever is there that is not, that is part, left over of our previous identity, all right, just let that sleep. If there are skeletons in the closet, just leave them in the closet. Don't open the closet. Just keep them in there. Now I'm giving the example for everyone, right? But if there are such skeletons, let them be. Krishna will take care of it over time. Over time. And if we feel, oh, but I'm doing it now for so many years, it's still there. So many years, it's not that many years. And even 40 years is not so long. Even 40 lifetimes is not so much. I mean, if you think about how many lifetimes we've been reinforcing material impressions in our consciousness. So many lifetimes. So it's not surprising that some of the materialistic tendencies in us are very strongly fixed there. There's a long answer, but maybe is try to satisfy you at the same time, and everyone, and all of us, really, because you have the courage to bring out a point which actually everyone is facing. Everyone has a few things on ice. Some things we just pushed in the back when we embraced Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So any other question? Okay, that's good. That's a lot. Okay, that will keep me sweet for a while. Thank you. And good writing, too. All of them. Very nice. It's not difficult for me to see the... You wrote that.
The first one is already been answered.
No. Is that what's it? No. Oh, I see. I didn't get that. Yes. What is sleep like in the spiritual world? Ecstatic. Sleep in the spiritual world is always filled with remembrance of Krishna. Sleep in the spiritual world is unlike the sleep in the material world, which is covering us with ignorance, forgetfulness, zonked out. In the spiritual world, we are remembering Krishna at all times. Yes. Never is there a moment that one is not absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. So even sleep is meant for that purpose, because See, here in the material world, everything is covered by material laws and by time. Everything must end, so the day must end because of time, our energy must end because of time, and we need to sleep because we run out of energy and have to rejuvenate and so on. That's the material world. In the spiritual world, there is no such thing. It is not limited by time, space, or thought. Therefore, in the spiritual world, we can, in an unlimited way, in an unlimited way, we can just live in that ras, in that relationship with Krishna, and taste so many varieties. So that's what it's about. So sometimes also sleeping to experience Krishna in that way, through dreaming. Sometimes through eating, experiencing Krishna. In every possible way, we're experiencing Krishna. But always in relishing the remembrance of Krishna. So it's another way, another aspect of Krishna, one can say. In the spiritual world, that's all we do, is serving and relishing the unlimited aspects of Krishna that will manifest to us in so many ways. Please, will you explain the history behind the Uddhava temple in Vrindavan? I don't know the full history. All I can say is that Uddhava himself prayed. Uddhava prayed to be there in Vrindavan as a blade of grass, and particularly desired to be there at Kusum Sarovar, because it was there that the gopis daily assemble and collect flowers. It is there that Srimati Radharani makes her Vaijayanti garland, which is a very long garland which goes beyond Krishna's knees. So they collect the flowers there, and then she makes that garland from these flowers. So it is a place especially where the gopis are very active preparing for their worship of Krishna. So Uddhava chose that, understanding that the gopis were the topmost. Now that's the spiritual history, behind that temple. If you're asking for the physical history, in what year was the temple founded and who were there, I have no idea. No idea. There is a book that can tell you that kind of information. What's it called? It's written by Entwistle, and it gives the whole history of Rahaj, and you can read exactly how many, at what date, which place was started, and so on. But I fall asleep usually when I read that book, because this is external, and I have less interest in external history than in the internal history. Therefore, I don't know so much about it. Where are we when it comes to the different adhikari levels? Well, the adhikari levels, I think we have Kanista Adhikari, Majam, and Uttam Adhikaris. The preoccupation of the Kanista is Sambandha, is to make the connection with Krishna and the teachings that Krishna gives and the process that Krishna offers. Sambandha. Just like the Kanista is weak, not only in faith, but also weak in practice. So the Kanista is still not very fixed in proper devotional practice. the Kanista is still not very fixed in proper Vaishnav dealings, in Vaishnav etiquette. A Kanista is not offering all the fruits of all activities to Krishna. I mean, even when we work in the world, karmani eva dikaraste ma phalesu kadachana ma karma phalehitu bhur maaste sangrasta karmani. We must offer the fruits of that work to Krishna, whatever we do. So if we earn money, okay, then that money sustains the Krishna conscious way of life. Not so much for Krishna and so much for something else. So now, the Madhyamadhikari is very serious about following the process. Therefore, the focus of the Madhyamadhikari is Abhideya. Abhideya is the process of attaining Krishna. And that's the focus of the Madhyamadhikari. He's made his connection. The Madhyamadhikari has made all the adjustments. The Madhyamadhikari has centered life around Krishna, around Krishna's teachings, and therefore the Madhyamadhikari is very much focused on the process of getting the purification and the qualification to approach Krishna. The Uttama Adhikari is living in the ultimate reality, the reality of Krishna, and therefore Prayojana is the focus of the Uttama Adhikari. The Uttama Adhikari is focused on love for Krishna and Krishna's loving dealings with his devotees, and then the world of Vrindavan that provides the facility for those loving exchanges. That's what the Uttama Adhikari's focus is. So where are we? Where are we? Well, it's not that you can put people in boxes. And you can say, one is 100% Kanista. Now, it may be that there may be a bit of both. There may be some Madhyamadhikari tendencies in a person. There may also be some Kanista tendencies in a person. In other words, there may be, on one side, the devotee may be very advanced and really turning towards Krishna, and on the other side, suddenly there is some area that should have not been there anymore, you know, some sort of neglected areas. It's like, sheesh, you know, still struggling with that. Actually I do. Some Kanista tendencies may have remained. Or there may be a Kanista Adhikari, a neophyte, but sort of breaking through towards the Madhyam area, and really some tendencies begin to develop. So it's a gradual transition from one to the other. Yeah? We should not try to put it in boxes, because human beings are not boxes. And when we try to put human beings in boxes, it may be easy for dealing with them, because we can just say, you belong there and this is how you are, because these are the qualities of your box, yeah? And those are the qualities of your box. So we have nicely labeled everyone, and in this way the world is very predictable, and everyone just please behave according to, you know, the codes of your box, all right? And then everything will be fine. Then we have a nice civilization. But that doesn't work, because human beings are individuals, and they will show their individual traits. So when we are creating such boxes, such as Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttam, we understand that there is also individuality, and that we should see that that part may be in one box and part may be in another box. That's reality. So where are we when it comes to the different Adhikari levels? Is it a linear process, meaning do we go through all these levels eventually? Yes. So another thing, of course, if I would have a board, you know, or a flip chart, I could write for you the divisions of the process from Shraddha to Prema. But now you have to, instead of getting it visual, you have to do it with audio, which is like very... okay, if there is a flip chart, and then... And there's a pen also, and we can get the flip chart. Anyway, Shraddha to Prema. I'll say it first. Shraddha means the initial faith. Then the next stage, Sadhu Sangha. Then we get the next stage, Bhajana Kriya. And then the next is Anartha Nivritti. So all these are part of the initial level. All these, we are a part of our initial struggle to make sambandha, to make the connection. Our faith, is our faith strong enough? Pen also?
Yes, one pen.
One pen?
Pen.
What's that? A pen? No. a felt pen. Why don't I keep it in the back? I mean, it's like, if no felt pen, forget it. It's not so important. I think we can do it without. Audio is healthy. Audio visual makes you dull, makes you lazy, and there are books about Google and how Google changed the way people think. And it says because Google, instead of thinking about an answer, you just Google it. Right? And as a result, people have become dull. They just don't think anymore. They become shallow. You know, they're just not used to sit down and think something through in depth. It's just gone with the Google culture. So the whole audio-visual with everything, you have to have a projector, you have to see it in front of your eyes, otherwise you can't deal with it. It's actually not our tradition. Our tradition is on the bank of the Ganga. Simply seated there with Maharaj Pariksit, listening to Sukadev Goswami. Right? That's all. As simple as that. Just hearing, just the ear. So I'll try again with the ear. So in the lower levels, there is the initial faith, Shraddha. Then there is that Shraddha naturally leads us to the association of devotees. We want to be with the devotees when the Shraddha is there. Sadhu Sangha. And when you're with devotees start to say, are you chanting? You know, I mean, what time are you getting up? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't eat with that hand, you know what I'm saying? So before you know it, you get into Bhajana Kriya, into the regulated process of devotional service. So these things automatically come. And as that begins to become established, the Anartha Nivritti really sets in. And then the purification of the heart, the removal of all impurities sets in. So in this way, we basically are establishing the first four principles of sambandha. Yes? Making the connection with the process. And then as we get fixed in that process and our determination becomes strong, then we go towards nistha. The focus goes towards nistha. And nistha then means strong determination. So that's that Madhya Malikari who said that, no, I have no faith in material happiness. I put my faith in Krishna consciousness. Well, that is material happiness. Be for what it is, because I don't believe in it. You know what I mean? I don't believe I'll be happy. Not really. Right? For how long? And what if someone makes a scratch on it? Oh no! They steal the wheel caps of your car.
Oh my God!
It's like I have personal experience that. Once a temple president, many years ago, called me to his office in Belgium and asked me if I had a clean insurance record. I said, yes, no problem. He said, okay, we have this car, and we need someone with Dutch nationality to drive it to Holland and get it insured there because it's cheaper. I said, okay, can you do it? I said, well, yeah, I can do it, I guess. Yeah. So it's like, it was a courtesy. They say that a courtesy is not good for travel. And also, you know, I got up early that Ekadasi because I wanted to chant extra rounds. So I didn't sleep very long. It was maybe a second. But anyway, suddenly that car was in front of me and it was standing still. And I slammed the brakes. And I guess I didn't hit it so hard, but I hit it. And then this man came out and he goes, oh, my car. I just tried to calm him down and said, are you all right, sir? I mean, everything in order, you know, like, I mean, and he goes again, my car. I said, well, fortunately, you know, and it's only, fortunately, nothing serious happened with you, you know, and that's at least one good thing. And you know, the car, well, you know, then he started to cry even more, my car. But I tell you, he didn't cry as much as the temple president when I rang him up, because that car was not insured. Anyway, what to do? Attachment, right? And I mean, the idea that this thing will bring me happiness, and then it brings you so much misery, actually. And then you realize I'm better off without that thing, better than I never had it. So Madhyamadikari knows these things and said, let me forget these things. A car this way, that way. Yes, hope that we have one that works, and for the rest, let's focus on Krishna. Then focuses on Krishna with great determination, following the instructions of Krishna, and therefore nista, or fixed determination, belongs with the Madhyamadikari. Then when we go to Uttama, yeah, we can say ruchi, taste, is an advanced Madhyamadikari. We can say attachment to Krishna is a very advanced Madhyamadikari. Or we can say that taste is the beginning of Uttama, because taste is where we go beyond this realm. But the focus really, we have taste now for the realm of Krishna. Taste, we just want not just sometimes a little taste, no, predominant taste. Predominant taste, taste that is just like on the surface of all of our consciousness, always absorbed in great taste. So then we get like to Uttama, and then it developed. And it says, when that taste, which is on the surface of the consciousness, ruchi, goes deep, then it becomes ashakti, then it becomes attachment to Krishna. When that ashakti is deep, and that attachment to Krishna has become deep, yeah, then naturally, we'll think only about Krishna, and we care about his activities and his reality, and who cares about the things of the material world, you know what I'm saying? Who cares about them at that stage? At the Shakti, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, the material world, sure, yeah. Yeah, it's a drag, isn't it? Anyway, let's talk about Krishna. Oh, yeah. No, what about Kali Yuga? Yeah, I know. There's a thousand Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma. You know what I mean? For Brahma, in the life of Brahma, Kali Yugas are like clouds in the sky, just passing so quick. What's a Kali Yuga? You know what I mean? Ooh, Kali Yuga. Ooh, Kali, Yuga, Yuga. In Hillbrow, just across, around our temple, around the corner, in Hillbrow, life was rough. And around the corner, there was a bar, and it was called Kali Yuga. It was written with a C, but anyway, Kali Yuga, it was called. And and look inside. Whoa, that was Kali Yuga. But the three gunas, no. And we can only say that the Kanista has maybe some more influence of the three gunas. The Madhyam is becoming more and more free from the gunas, and the Uttam is free from the gunas. Like that. Now there's the next one here. In what ways do we need to detach from material reality in order to shift full weight to spiritual reality? And is that what is recommended? Well, it is said our movement is not a movement of cultivating a lot of attachment. But it depends a little bit on our ashram. We see that we are on a parallel track. On the one hand, there is the transcendental track of the Bhagavad Vidhi. The Bhagavad Vidhi is Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering about Krishna. And that will just awaken our transcendental consciousness. But then to support that and keep it on a level. See, if you rely only on chanting in the beginning, the chanting can lift you up. But the problem is that you come back down. So there may be a lot of fluctuation. Sometimes you may be quite transcendental, and other moments you may be down again. So to keep it on a level, we bring in Varnashram at the same time. So that there are codes of behavior and say, stay within these and these boundaries of behavior of a particular ashram. Because ashram is the most important for us. So we follow an ashram, and it says, yagya danas tapascaiva bhavaninam manisinam. That sacrifice, yagya, danas, charity, and tapas, austerity, must be performed and will even purify the saintly personalities. So then it is said that the brahmacharis, they should perform yagya. So they should perform the yagya of the age, especially. They are the sankirtan devotees. Now, they're doing that yagya. The grihasthas, they're focusing on dana, on giving in charity. Right? And then the renounced ashrams, the vanaprasthas and the sannyasis, on tapas. They're performing tapas. And that's their focus. So depending on our ashram, we will be performing more or less tapas. Everyone will perform some tapas. It is recommended for all that we perform some tapas. We will be purified by it. That we rise early, that we fast on Ekadasis, at least from brains and greens. I mean, grains and grains and beans. I had an incident, you know, where I had got a bang on the head so many years back, and then for a number of months I couldn't say. I got dyslexic, I started mixing things up, and then one Ekadasi later, and today we're fasting from brains and greens. And I wanted to say grains and beans, and what came out of my mouth was brains and beans. It was a very strange experience. So, anyway, so here we go. In what ways do we need to detach from material reality? So the brahmachari detaches by making sacrifice. He gets very busy doing a lot of service, working very hard for pushing on the mission. That's the brahmachari. Right? Running here, there, everywhere. It says the brahmachari is the legs of the Vedic culture. Mukha Bahuda Pada Jala, he's the feet of the Vedic culture. He has to run everywhere. The grihastha is generating so many things and is just charitable and supporting and maintaining the entire the entire society. And the other orders, they are meant to practice tapas. To the extent that is possible. Yeah. That depends on the individual. Some of us have a body like a tank, and others, you know, have something that's really frail, and you just a little bit of tapasya, and they're totally knocked out. So that's also considered. Not tapasya that destroys our health. What's the benefit of that? That's not. That is tapasya in the mode of ignorance. So such tapas, yajna dana's tapas, they're helpful in creating that kind of detachment. And this is part of the Vajna Ashram culture, which is our external support to help us from not going too much down. If we are absorbed in transcendental ecstasy, then where's the question of material attachment? Who cares for such things when one is just appreciating Krishna? What is the thing? Who thinks of detachment? Who is attached to Krishna? Such a person thinks of attachment, thinks only of Krishna and how attached they are to Krishna, and that attachment is everything and takes over everything and pushes everything away out of the consciousness. Till only Krishna remains. And that is ultimately the Bhagavad Vidhi, to develop this attachment to Krishna. So our principal thing is to develop the attachment to Krishna. The secondary thing in the support is yajna danas tapascha, which helps us to keep our level, so to speak, you know, to not go down too much, and to therefore we have it is said nitya kriya and naimitika kriya. Nitya kriya is then the regular practice, and naimitika kriya is something extraordinary. Like a Janmashtami, when you know you go all out and you fast and you do so many things that normally we wouldn't do, so much hearing, chanting, so much service, a special endeavor. That's Naimitika. So it says Naimitika does two things. Naimitika raises the bar. It raises the bar. And so Naimitika brings up our Nitya Kriya. It's just that, like in Kartik, we take a Kartik vrat and then we chant extra rounds, and then we realize, actually, we do it for 1 month, and then you realize, hey, actually, I can do it. Yeah? No, he actually said, we had just convinced our mind that there are 108 reasons why we can't do it. And they were all very good reasons. Not really. I mean, you know, they made a lot of sense. Just couldn't do it. And we had nicely accepted these reasons, logical, you know, work, health, you know what I'm saying, many other reasons, you know. So whatever are 108 reasons we have why we can't chant so much, and in a Kartik, we did it. And suddenly our whole perception of reality has changed. My God, I can do it actually. And then the thought comes, maybe I should keep on doing it. So that's the idea, that's the design of the process of Naimitika Kriya, to bring us there actually. That's why we have these vows, these special vows. And what the other thing the special vows do, they also bring new life to the routine. You know, because everything becomes a routine. So every once in a while we need to do something special, and then new life comes back into what had become a routine. So this is all. Anyway, the point is that so detachment is only support, so that we can keep a level, that we don't fall back too much into the material energy. But the real thing is to stay on a higher level of commitment to Krishna. Oh yes, it's about commitment to Krishna. Committing our time, committing our energy, committing our chanting, committing to service. Just like now, with Vrindavan being here, he invokes the presence of Ayendra, what can I say, right? And that red-haired, bearded revolutionary, you know, what shall I say? He was immediately committed. When he came to Vrindavan and did the 24-hour kirtan, he changed. See, we knew, of course, I was actually, at the time, the temple commander in Vrindavan, so when he came. And so before that, the kirtan, it wasn't 24-hour kirtan, before I was responsible for the kirtan. It was the temple commander's job. But we had long given up on the idea of 24 hours because we just said, well, we just don't have people who want to do it. We just, at least for now, keep a kirtan going while the temple is open. And that's what we did. And that was there. And then he said, no, Prabhupada said it should be 24-hour kirtan, and Prabhupada wanted shifts, and he gave a whole system to Hansa Dutta, and then Ayendra said, we're going to do it, you know. And he, just a handful of people, him and Nitai, basically, you know what I mean? And then they started it, and then a few others sort of joined in. Yeah, that's what was going on. But they did it. They kept it going, 24 hours. And then what came from that, no one could have imagined. He said, like, you know, what are you doing here all day, just chanting, you know, go out and preach. But, well, all that chanting, it had a lot of effect around the world. If we just get absorbed and make a commitment, commitment, that's the idea. Okay, it's a question with many points, bullet points. In what ways do we need to detach, or that we did, in order to shift full weight to spiritual reality, and is that what is recommended? So I think I answered that. What balance do you suggest when it comes to antapanta and bahipanta? Ultimately, or the internal path and the external path, or the path of external cultivation and the path of becoming absorbed through Sankirtan, which brings us internal revelation. What about that? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that one should not be to the exclusion of the other. One should not worship Radha and Krishna without worshipping Lord Chaitanya. And one should not worship Lord Chaitanya without Radha and Krishna. That's basically what he said. It's quoted in the purports to the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So both must be there. So a balance means both. And then different individuals may have a leaning, you know what I'm saying? Some have a leaning towards the Vrindavan cultivation. Others may have a leaning towards Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan mission. And we see that in different individuals. But whatever may be, let us make sure that we always keep a strong connection with kirtan and with distributing the mercy in the kirtan. Just as I'm talking about the kirtan in Vrindavan. See, in Vrindavan, there is that 5 o'clock slot, that 4:30 slot, you know, which goes until the evening arti, and that's like the slot of the day, you know, and
four to
it's
seven.
Like,
huh?
4 to 7. Anyway, that's the slot, and in that slot, you know, it's like it's not just that we sing for the deities. There's all these pilgrims. pilgrims that are coming, and they get into the kirtan, and it's like, it's about nourishing that kirtan. They dance, and these rich bhasis, they get into that. They all like, you know.
See all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and as they come around the temple, they jump, they dance, they clap, they get very involved. Many sit down, join the kirtan. It's a whole thing to nourish that. As I often said to when they asked me to speak about kirtan, then I've often said that when it comes to playing the instruments, it's not like, you know, can I say, I have my limitations. But my thing is not so much playing the instruments. My thing is playing the people. I'm playing the people in the kirtan. Yeah, for the pleasure of the Lord. But I'm not playing that harmonium. Harmoniums. I mean, like, when it comes to keyboards, they are not the best ones. Sticky keys and all these horrible things that harmoniums do. But what can I say? Playing the people and pulling them in and lifting them up or whatever. Making them cry. You know the story of Tansen? Can I tell you the story of Tansen? Tansen was a famous kirtanier at the time of Akbar. And he was like a classical singer, and you know, the way Tansen could sing, you know, various ragas and so on, it was just like, you know. And Akbar, Akbar basically said that Tansen is the best. He's the best. No one can sing like him. So there was one other singer who was also an accomplished musician and well known. His name just slipped my mind. But that's not so important. He was a Vaishnava. So he came to Akbar and he said, "So, you have passed an order that in this kingdom no one can sing but Tansen?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Why, if I may ask?" Akbar said, "Because he's the best." Then the Vaishnava said, "Are you sure? Are you sure that he's the best? Oh, are you saying there is anyone else who can sing?" He said, "Well, you know." He was ready to challenge Tansen to a contest. And he said that, "All right," Akbar said, "yes, let it be so." Then he said, "Okay, let this contest be in the forest, so that it will not be one which is based on false prestige, one where we're looking for cheap adoration from an audience. No, let it be in the forest." So, all right. And no one should be there, only Akbar. The two of us and Akbar. "But one thing I want," he said. "I want many garlands. Please arrange that there are many garlands." So a location was chosen, many garlands were brought there, and they were all there in baskets and everything, you know, arranged. Then Akbar took his seat, the singers took their seats, and Akbar asked everyone else to leave. And they stayed. And then Tansen was invited to sing, and he sang, glorifying the Lord, with ragas and everything, you know, alap and you name it. And it was so amazing that all the deer came out of the forest, one by one. The deer just were drawn into this music, and they all came and they just stood there. And Akbar had that look on his face and said, "See, this is dancing. Even the deer, even the animals appreciate." Then the Vaishnava sat down. And when he began to sing, it was just the purity of his chanting was just so overwhelmingly deep that those same deer who were there before, they started to cry tears. And then these deer, they came forward and they bowed down before the Vaishnava, who then would reach out, take a garland and offer it to them. And then continue chanting, and then the next one would come, offer obeisances, and he would offer a garland. And in this way, he transformed all the deer into Vaishnavas, into devotees. So, after that, Akbar said, "Okay, you can also sing." Anyway, an ancient story which is very nice, and it tells us something about the essence of everything. It's not about detachment. It's about bhakti. It's about bhakti. It's about glorifying Krishna. And the more we get absorbed and commit ourselves to that, the more everything else disappears. So, I'll end now. So once again, I know this retreat, there was a little bit of discomfort and some irregularity with the prasad. Even this program was, there was a last minute shift. The reason is because, well, one very good reason is because the main organizer became ill and went to hospital. And then the cook also became ill. And then we had an emergency crew. And then we had an emergency manager who was Ram Vijay, who suddenly today had big problems with kidney stones and also went to a hospital. So Prabhanu jumped in with his crew from Phoenix, and they're doing their best and they're getting on top. But it took a little while to sort of, organize it their way, because they didn't prepare for it. So that's what we're facing when there is some discomfort. My apologies to all of you, and if there is any further problem, do not hesitate to contact me personally. Now, please tell me, because although you may think I cannot read minds. So, actually, I have no idea what you're thinking, although the face is the index of the mind, Unless the super soul reveals it to me, and sometimes he does. Just to keep you in suspense. But anyway, so therefore, please communicate. I mean, it's not at all that embarrassing. I'd like to know, because I can maybe help to solve the problems. Actually, I'm known as a good manager, so I may as well, although I'm retired now, but if it comes to it, I can organize things, and I will, no problem at all. Make sure that all the children get prasada, and the adults as well. But meanwhile, the cooking is about to be completed now. They told me 7:30 was the time. So I'll save the rest of your questions. I'm not doing any more kirtan tonight because I have to rest this finger, and all this harmonium playing is sort of not good actually for future harmonium playing. I'm saving it for later on so that I can again play pain-free, which helps. But I hope that you are liking the retreat so far, and that there is some austerity. Yeah, what can be done? Some is man-made, sorry for that. Others is made by the devatas. It is a bit warm this time, and did we go down that hill, and we left at 17 degrees, and we came back uphill at 28, and quickly approaching 32. I guess when I reached, it was 28, but many of you came about 45 minutes later. That's what, you know, you reached 45 minutes after me, and by then it was 34 degrees. I already had the air conditioner on and was okay. But I hope you manage that. I'm bringing up this hike because there are, it's just one of those situations where different voices are there. There were voices, oh, we should go again tomorrow. No, we should really go again tomorrow. Oh, please, Maharaj, no, we should go. Maharaj, let's go, let's go, let's go. You know, the Berg, right? And Maharaj is thinking, oh. And then we have people who go like, well, you know, that was once in a lifetime, and never again. That was also there. And then there were some who said, well, maybe tomorrow we should take a peaceful stroll on the road, right? So I'm, meanwhile, all the options are open. Now, we've also had retreats in another resort, and many of you have been there, Alpine Heath, right? And they have a nice trail going to this waterfall up there, which is quite nice. However, of course you have to go over there territory, and we rang them up and asked them what that, because we already heard that they charge, and they sure do. They're charging 50 pops a head, 50 rand it was, yeah? 50 rand a head if we do that. Okay? And that's what they said on the phone. Some are, yeah, let's go. And some are saying, what, 50 rand? Never. So all these things, all these dilemmas are now appearing. Right? And I just gonna ask for a show of hands, right? Just to get an idea of what you would like, because I don't wanna, you know, sort of drag you all out there. I'm much more fit than all of you. You know, at least than most of you. That we showed today. Right? I beat you by 45 minutes. My God. That's pretty embarrassing. Definitely, the Hare Krishna movement needs more exercise. That I guarantee you. Gosh. Anyhow. So, offering you that opportunity for more exercise tomorrow morning, right, if you desire so, once again, we would go to the Alpine Heath and we would go a little bit down over the stream. We help the ones who would have difficulty with that, put some guys there to help people across. Then a little bit up the hill, and then on the other side of the hill there's a little turn, and then there it is, the water. And there we'll have a little program. So it will be you desire so. If you don't desire this, then I'll just take a pin and just like pop the bubble and pop, it will be gone. So as you desire. So all those who like that idea, they can vote in favor of that. And other ideas say, well, forget it, we'll just stay here and we'll just, for those who want to walk, we just walk up and down the road. Yeah. Which also gives you a nice view and like easier walk, you know, and you can go as far as you like. Option number two. Option number three, we stay home. And we just, you know, we have, you know, we have brekkie in time, and we, you know, and we have a morning program, and we chant our rounds, and, you know, we focus on the spiritual things, and our mountains are just material things, and who cares about hiking and all these things. We just stay here. So now there's three options. So those, you cannot vote twice, okay? Because then we will cut you in half. We'll keep half here and the other half there, and that's maybe not a good idea. So all of those who vote for the option, the Alpine Heath option, please raise your hands. Okay, who can count? Count. Quick.
Step
30. Okay, all those who vote for the second option, the road. On the road again. On the road. Anyone in favor of the road? All hands up for the road. Last chance for the road, ladies and gentlemen. Do we want to go on the road? Anyone? Who came up with this road idea? It wasn't me. It wasn't my idea. It was a suggestion that was made to me. But I can see the road is not very not too popular. And then who would vote for option number three? We'll just stay here. It's kind of okay. Any money? Wow.
25.
Ooh. It was a close call. What can I do? So democracy, I guess, wins. I don't know if I have a vote, you know. Okay, I guess not. I'm your servant. So here we go again, up and down the hill. Anyway, must be good for something.